Welcome back to another episode of The Coffee Break, and today we are joined by Eric. Cheers, Eric.
Cheers, happy to be here.
So Eric, for those who may not have come across you, can you please introduce yourself and tell us how you ended up at Animoca?
Sure thing. So my name is Eric Smith. I'm the head of people and culture here at Animoca Brands. I joined in January 2024, so just over a year and a half now. Before that, I spent about a decade at Morgan Stanley in TradFi across various different roles in HR, but predominantly in compensation and analytics, which is kind of my passion. Entered the fun world of crypto in 2020 when I joined the famous derivatives exchange, BitMEX, which was an absolute journey. It was a great way to kind of get my stripes in HR. I think, you know, working in the big institutions, you learn a lot of the best practices. But then when you move into smaller startup environments that are fighting for market share, for relevance, you really get to deploy real HR work. That's where the work gets done. So spent a lot of time there to build out their HR infrastructure and mature the organization to grow and scale. Then I later became head of people at BitMEX. Later had the opportunity, a little bit serendipitously, for Animoca to come along. I had previously had my eyes on Animoca for a while, just like everyone else. You listen to Yacht a couple times, it digests its content, then you kind of bought into the overall mission. So I think being at the exchange helped me really understand the crypto markets, made it very exciting for me to kind of be in the space that everyone was talking about. But I always wanted to understand, what were those projects that were listing on those exchanges? What were they doing? What was part of their purpose? And so then when I got the call from Animoca to join, it was an easy decision to take. And then being in here, you really get to see behind the scenes where those projects are incubated, but also a lot of the advice and advisory that we provide to those different companies, and then the investments that we make to enable in the space. So it's been a really kind of exciting journey for me personally, but then being here now is very exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great to have, you know, interacted with you over the last 2 years. Year.
A year and a half.
Yeah, a bit.
Good enough.
So, you know, Animoca has so many projects. There are so many moving pieces. How do you even begin to define culture here at Animoca Brands?
That is the challenge. I think it's one that you can't take a conventional approach. I think when you think of culture in organizations, you're thinking about shared beliefs and values. It's really a way for us to govern and guide our behaviors, decision-making, interactions. So it's a very important piece. In the world of Web3, or specific to Animoca, where you have a diverse business mix, right? We have our advisory businesses, our incubation business, investments, and then layer that with a globally distributed population, culture becomes very challenging to maintain. And as you grow, you want to make sure you're not diluting culture. And I think that's always a challenge. So what really helps unite us is not so much thinking about it as a top-down approach to culture, but really the mission behind what Animoca stands for. And that's driving the digital property rights through blockchain. And I think if you're in a subsidiary, you're in a portco, you're just one of the community members in the Animoca orbit, you feel that. And that's kind of part of our culture, is that unity behind the mission.
So you've now had some experience, you know, obviously building out HR in Web3. So, like, what have you had to reimagine, and what has been your biggest challenge, and I guess what are you the most proud of?
Oof. Yeah, this one is, it's tiring, I'll say. But I think the biggest challenges are tied to some of the characteristics in the space, especially for late stage startups who are looking for that next kind of growth and scale activity. It's the mixture of pace of the industry, passion of the people, uncertainty in the industry, and then like ambiguity on where, what is the right blueprint to move forward. I think a combination of those makes it really challenging to kind of work within this space, because not only are things moving fast, but people are really emotionally charged about some of the decisions they take. So from an HR perspective, we have to be a constant. We have to be at least someone to provide a safe space for people to open up and vent, but also help them process everything that's happening around them. So that, just some of the characteristics of the space, make it a bit challenging to navigate some of the HR problems. And then on top of that is, you know, making sure that you're not just implementing a process for the sake of it. I think time is a luxury that a lot of smaller firms who are fighting for that front position don't always have. And so you need to make sure that you take a very pragmatic approach. So drawing on all of those best practices at the bigger institutions and well-established firms with, you know, limitless budgets, you have to now come in and use that as a reference point, but then identify an appropriate solution that's tailored to the problem at hand. So that's been very exciting because you use the, you know, the Morgan Stanley experience as like a postgraduate degree. And then I come into the smaller firms and I really get to actually deploy those skills.
Sure. Would you say there's a one size fits all kind of approach or not? It's very...
Yeah. Never a one size fits all. And I think that's what keeps it exciting, but also makes it very challenging. So you have to take a bit more of a modular approach to how we implement HR solutions that wouldn't be just kind of like, it's a best practice, we need to adopt it. Because the organization also has to be in a position to be open and kind of have to meet them where they are in their journey.
So in terms of hiring, right, what makes an ideal Web3 candidate and what advice would you have for someone that's looking to apply to a role?
Yeah, I think good question. Everyone always asks that, right? How can I get a job at Atomoka? I think there's a couple of key traits. One is we want to see people who are not only masters of their craft. So I think it's hard to come into this organization fresh out of school. Not to say it's impossible, but because we're moving so quickly, having some established professional experience at least gets some of the basics out of the way. But once you start to hone in on your expertise, we then want people who have the right mindset. This is not for the faint of heart, this industry, because it has its ups, it has its downs. So you have to be able to kind of have the agility to move with that. And I think the other key piece that we look for is people who believe more beyond the job description is actually looking for why we do what we do. And that mission alignment is critical. So I'd rather have someone who was, you know, working through some of their maybe professional development, but just had the right mindset, because you can do so much more with that. So I think coming into the space where you can kind of check your expectations at the door and rather come in with an open mind and how to contribute and add value.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, there's always, you always see this on you always see this on Twitter, right? Like, there's always a debate of whether, you know, when a let's say an NFT project goes to hire a new CEO or whatever it is, there's always a debate: should you hire within the industry? Should you go, you know, hire someone that's well established in the traditional space? What's your take on that? For let's say for an NFT project, right? And they're looking to hire a new head of marketing or a new CEO. Yeah. Where should they look?
Ah, it's a good question. I would say in general, you know, having prior demonstrated experience in Web3 makes you a better candidate by default because you kind of already know the space, you already know kind of some of the nuances that are tagged to it. But rewind 5 years ago, right, I wasn't in Web3, so I probably would have passed up on an opportunity. So I think it's important as leaders, as organizations, you don't limit yourself to an amazing talent pool just because someone's a little bit later on their adoption journey. And I think that's an important one that sometimes we put a little, maybe too much weight on, is you need that prior Web3 experience, but it is really important because for roles like, if you're gonna be a CEO at an NFT project, right, you need to know the culture of Web3. You need to be able to embed yourself in those communities because otherwise your solutions aren't going to be as relevant. So I think it's a very important piece. But I also would say if you're new to the space, it's also okay. What you need to focus on then is how do you articulate how your skills can transfer over to this space and actually just start getting involved. Participate in some spaces, buy some NFTs, like check the markets regularly. But I think that there is a critical kind of component. In order to be very successful in the space, you gotta be kind of committed and be involved in it already.
What trends are you seeing right now in terms of working in the Web3 space?
So I think thanks to COVID, the world was forced into the idea of remote work. I think that has both a positive and its drawbacks. That continues to be kind of a baseline expectation for people coming into this space. I think oftentimes it might be a bit of a misconception is that because the technology is so advanced and a very progressive industry that every company is going to offer remote work, but it does have its challenges when you think about the management of a distributed workforce, the cultural identity of a distributed workforce. So I think that is still going to be a trend that we as companies need to be thinking about. How do we keep people like that feeling connected and a sense of belonging when they spend most of their day in their homes? So I think that's one key piece that we still need to focus on. Other challenges, or at least advancements in the space, is with AI. I think you don't want to be the firm that's behind the curve. So even at Animoco, we've been starting various initiatives to really socialize a lot of the learning that individuals are taking on. It's a lot of openness to use AI and use it as a tool rather than see it as a threat. And I think that's going to be a continued one that will get a lot of excitement and focus on in the coming months, years, as we see, who knows, will we be replaced by robots? Unclear.
Yeah. Well, maybe we already are.
This is true. This could be a deep fake. This whole thing could be a deep fake.
Very well could be. Like you said, you've been here over a year now. What's been your most meaningful moment?
Oof. There's been a lot. I would say what I attribute meaning to may not be the big splash events. For me, it's getting in the organization, embedding yourself, getting to know the people, understand what the company had faced over the last few years. There's been massive transformation and growth at Animoca, and actually just being there for staff where they may not have had an opportunity because everything's moving fast. It's not that people don't care, but it could be the case that they didn't feel like they had a chance to kind of just express themselves or feel heard. And I think that is one of the things that gets me going. It gives me my joy for doing the job, is helping people process what's happening around them. But I would say one of the big splash events that was exciting was this move to our new office in Wonchokhang, Landmark South. The team that we worked with, we kind of identified the space. So you're looking at empty developments still in construction, and then you have this kind of raw material that you can then redesign. And when we were working with our designers and the team, we really wanted to think about building a space that felt like a Web3 company, that had this sense of community and a lot of shared space. So that was really exciting. And then to see how, you know, going from a more remote face, more remote focused workforce to then initiating return to office, which is a little bit like a four-letter word these days, and then seeing how the culture emerges beyond that. But you see, when you bring people together, amazing things happen, right? And there's a lot of serendipitous interactions, ideations, great conversations. We have a pool table, you get pool tournaments. I mean, there's just a wonderful thing that happens when you bring people together in a space that I think for at least a couple years, everyone loving remote work had lost sight of. So that was a big one for us at the end of last year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, just being in this new office, having the pantry, having the ability to sit and have a coffee together and talk about these sort of things. I agree, it's super important. You know, compared to the old office, I think some of these things may have been lacking. Mm-hmm. But now the fact that we have games room where at lunchtime you have Mario Kart tournaments or pool tournaments, darts, all this sort of stuff. I think it just brings people together in a way that you never know, you know, might facilitate conversation in a way that you just can't have when you're at home, right? So I always enjoy my visits to the office. But one last question, Eric. What's a big sort of misconception that people might have about working in Web3?
Well, I think a lot of people see the space, and you know, they're not incorrect, right? There's a lot of noise, a little bit of chaos. Maybe it's just memes. A lot of people don't understand it. And I think that's also part of the excitement of working in the space, is you become ambassadors, you become evangelists in a way. And I love that aspect of working here where people are asking, you know, generally it starts with, should I buy Bitcoin? Should I buy Ethereum? And I'm like, well, that's not really, can't help you on that one. But it is definitely behind a lot of the volatility that we're seeing in the markets, behind some of the bad actors that you have in any space, is amazing people doing great work and really trying to find a new way to approach how we live and work and kind of survive in this society, where you are continuing to see a lot of political unrest. There's a lot of challenges in a macro environment that, you know, blockchain and other solutions have an opportunity to reinvent and rethink the way that works. So I would say that, yes, it's still early days to some degree in terms of making sure that we invite more regulation into space to clean it up. But wow, it's awesome to be here where you're working with the best and the brightest minds in Web3 who are pushing the envelope on what we can do with this technology.
I was kidding about the last one being the last question. I've got one more. Is Web3, crypto, NFTs have had a branding issue over the last little period, right? Are you finding that a challenge when recruiting from either more traditional firms or just people in the space in general? And what needs to change in terms of the perception of this space?
Yeah, this comes up a lot. I think that when we go to attract talent, this is why there's a preference for people already in the space, because they've already made that kind of leap over or that mental kind of shift to say, this is a space I want to work in. If we're going to attract folks in more stable traditional industries that they haven't worked in Web3 before, there is this element of risk, right? They're leaving something that could be quite stable, quite predictable, and take a chance on something new and evolving. But part of that is also the excitement that comes with it. And actually, when you have individuals who are open to that challenge, then great things can happen. But it becomes a real challenge if there are still negative perceptions about the space. And what we hear in HR is, if we're interviewing candidates or they get to offer, they always want to throw out, what's the risk premium that I can get? Because they are leaving something very stable to come contribute their skills and expertise for us. But we also see that, you know, I would say most firms, and it's hard for me to speak across all of Web3, but you see about an 18-month to 2-year cycle where someone will come into the space, and if they came from kind of prior Web2, they're really kind of figuring it out or feeling it out. If they, you know, faced a lot of adversity, if they couldn't kind of stomach the ups and downs, you end up seeing them leave to go back to those stable industries. And in some way, I don't see that as a failure or anything for them, right? It's just a preference. And everyone's at a different stage in their career. And I would say you need a lot of energy to be in the space. And that's why we end up seeing like average demographic, even at Animoca, around the mid-30s. It's people at different stages in their life. But it is definitely a challenge for us to keep and retain talent. And that's why, as an HR organization within Animoca, we need to make sure that we're staying close to our staff, understanding what their needs are, and also making sure that we can create a great environment for them to do their best work.
Amazing. Well, Eric, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. And yeah, cheers.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, guys, that's another episode of The Coffee Break. Stay tuned as we speak to more professionals in the Web3 space.